Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hour number two, Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Great to be with you. Thanks for joining us. And a fine Balls McWednesday to you and yours. I'm Jeff, that's Tom. There's Director Matthew, and we appreciate you joining us. If you're watching on War Chant TV, don't forget to like and subscribe, all right? Oh, look at that. Somebody sent me a tweet, Tom, with the red that is from Locust Grove to McDonough over to Stockbridge. Just the red on the map.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Per our discussion of McDonough.
They don't need to update that map. Just leave it red. Always.
Yeah, just leave it there. Leave it there. You always see the express lanes that are shut down? They won't let you take? Doesn't flow in that direction when you're going that way? It's always like, yeah, this is our way of saying it could be faster, just so you know, but we refuse to allow for this magic lane to be opened up. So it's just a big middle finger to you.
The only time you can cash in on McDonough and get through there with any degree of quickness is if you've got like the first flight out at Hartsfield, and so you're driving through at 4 a.m. because you got to get through security for the first flight out. Then you can do it, speaking from experience. But other than that, anytime from 8 a.m. to midnight, you are screwed.
So the other day that the report came out that Tom Brady is going to work with Fox as an analyst when he retires from football, and the deal was for over $300 million, and we were all just stunned. And obviously, I mean, that's a lot of coin, but the bottom line is that's a guy who I wouldn't think, unless he's Phil Mickelson-esque, wouldn't think he needs the money. Speaking of Phil, we had a sense that that book might reveal something pretty telling about why it is he needs the blood money from the Saudis that he does, and would be willing to ruin his reputation and career by perhaps going in that direction, the way that a few of the washed-up golfers are from the PGA Tour. But if you are to believe that book, and I'm going to read it, he has over $40 million in gambling debts. Jeez Louise, man.
Which he can cover.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sure.
Easily. Yeah. He's made that in a year, but $40 million. Sir, you're not good at this. I had it all wrong because you won the bet the one time on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl and bet it preseason, and it looked good because I think he took home $500K. But, I mean, that must have been a rarity.
Well, given who Phil is, if he won more, he would have told you about it.
That's true.
So maybe that's why he's got $40 million in debt, because he seems like the guy that would make sure he tweets out the ticket if it was successful.
Problem is that he's also been involved in certain cases where his name's come up and the money exchanged were with the wrong kinds of people, some of whom have been killed, others belong to the mob, and or yeah, so that's not good. That's not good. So that's just on the $40 million might be what you know. Might be what you know about. Anyhow, back to Tom for a second. $300+ million. So it's not as if he didn't already have the level of FU money that we would all desire to have to do anything we wanted. But I got into a conversation about which sporting event, if money was no object, would I want to go to? And this, my dad and I were talking about this. And so one thing to note, I thought, well, I'm going to look up a couple of things. I am
the first NFL game in Germany.
No.
Right?
No.
That's it.
Although it'd be fun to visit Munich. No. I wanted to know, because as we talked about this, the more I thought about it, the more I realized, okay, listen, so if we think internationally, what is taken in by the most amount of people? And immediately my thought was, well, soccer. So, like, number one on that list, if we were just looking at viewership around the world, I would think the World Cup would be number one. But it's interesting, the Tour de France, 3.5 billion viewers. World Cup, the last one, 3.3 billion viewers.
So cycling does better numbers in the World Cup.
It did in the last one. Yes, that's it's crazy to think about.
That's a lot of standard def televisions around the world just stuck on one channel. That's
remember also, it's over the course of 23 days. So they counted all of it. It added up. So I think that's more of it. That's crazy. That's a lot. Well, then again, the World Cup's a lot, too. It's, you know, anyhow, and hence 3.3 billion viewers. The Cricket World Cup got 2.6 billion viewers. Cricket!
I still don't understand that game. I sat at a pub in Brighton with a man who loves cricket, and he explained it all, and it made sense for like an hour, and I couldn't retain the knowledge that I needed to get it. It's nuts.
I watched cricket at length when I was in London, and then later Bath and a couple of other places, just because I do understand its huge popularity. Now, a big part of these numbers, the 2.6 billion, India. And so, you know, a lot of people in India, a lot of people, and they all love cricket. Apparently.
Close quarters.
Not ideal. But that said, that last Cricket World Cup set a record for the most watched cricket event of all time at 2.6 billion viewers. Then you get into the Olympics where the Summer Games had over 2 billion viewers, the Winter Games had over 2 billion viewers. Top 10, number 6, the Women's World Cup. 1.12 billion viewers. I like the Women's World Cup. I watch the Women's World Cup. I'm in. Yeah, I agree with that. That's good. Boxing still gets, depending on the fight, still gets worldwide over a billion viewers, so it's not a dead sport. It is kind of in this country, but the UEFA Champions League does really well, over 380 million. Super Bowl all the way down here, because very specific to the United States, 96.4 million viewers. Not billions, but millions. And then the World Series is in the top 10.
You've answered your question as to why the NFL is going overseas. There it is.
I guess.
The NFL wants that billion mark. They want to, you know, go local municipalities and countries into saying, here you go.
What, are they going to expand their league to Europe, I guess, is the effort here?
They want it on televisions over in Europe so they can hit those numbers and sell to the corporate sponsors that they're partnering with that are all over the globe and saying, look, we're worth buying.
Yeah, it's always about that. I get it. It's always about expanding and making more money. But, man, they've been trying for a real long time. And every time I see these games in London, the folks look disinterested, first of all, because all you're watching is people fall down. A whole lot of slipping and sliding. They got to get the fields right.
That's why in Tottenham they have the turf now.
Yeah.
They brought in American turf or field turf.
Field turf, yeah. So I guess my point was to circle back and put a ribbon on this. Of the world's events, whether it be the Masters at 9.5 million viewers or the NBA Finals at 16.54 million, the Kentucky Derby that just happened, did you watch? Major upset, 80-1 odds. Yeah, I watched. You know what kind of jumped out to me? Some on the lower part of this list. If I had the kind of money that Tom will make just for broadcasting and could go and take in with family and friends, pay for them, everybody, we're all going. I mean, certainly the British Open this year would be pretty amazing to do.
It was supposed to be my honeymoon.
I know.
Thanks, Rona.
Yep.
Ouch.
So, you know, this would be ideal. But I would want to go to Wimbledon, and I would want to go because I know they have fun, and they do have fun. The World Cup of Rugby is apparently a good time.
A bleep show?
Well, it's in France this year, and I got to believe that would be a good time. It's 20 of the best international teams in all the globe, and it's a six-week tournament. 6 weeks! So you got to pick the right week for the best possible. You can't. Anybody who makes it through 6 weeks at a Rugby World Cup, boy, that's a constitution right there. That's a toughie.
So these aren't nations. These are the best. It's almost like a Champions League. I'm gathering.
It's the best international teams in a six-week tournament. And again, the upcoming one, the next Rugby World Cup is from September the 8th through October 21st.
Oh, my God.
2023 in France. Weather's nice in France that time of year.
You just got to stay out of the scrums and the stands because I'm sure it gets testy.
Yeah, a lot of testosterone in the World Cup of Rugby, I'm sure. But, man, tell me that doesn't sound like fun. Just like the cricket one sounds like fun.
And the Six Nations. The Six Nations as
well.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. Like much more so than, say, going to the Kentucky Derby.
No way.
Yeah, don't care.
You have to pay me.
I don't. You wouldn't go if you had a free place to stay and a free ticket?
No, not really.
I think I might just experience it.
No,
there are a few things that I wouldn't go to for if given for free.
You're stuck there watching races all. I don't care. I don't care about the second. Like, I'm not doing it.
Well, just like if you want to attend quarters, the actual race,
I'd have
just
to be in
race.
An owner's box, you know? Like, not the infield. Like, it would have to
The infield wouldn't suck.
No. Can't do it.
What about, like, so you and I were going to do the Daytona 500. We were this close to getting invites to go and to be down there for the Daytona 500. Now, you know I don't give a damn about NASCAR. I think it's ridiculous.
Right.
But I would go to that. I'd go that. I'd cross it off the list.
I know. This is going to hurt you. I think I'd rather go to the Daytona 500 than the Kentucky Derby. I think I'd have a better time at the Daytona 500 than the Kentucky Derby.
You think so?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I know. It hurt a little.
It doesn't hurt. I'm trying to follow your reasoning. It's less uppity, that's for sure.
Right.
But boy, it is a lot less uppity.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Okay. So it's almost like a philosophical question that you can have at the dinner table. Would you rather be so stuck up it's ridiculous, or would you rather be so down in the dumps that it's rowdy?
Mm.
Well, the infield of a Daytona 500 is the dumps, Matthew. Come on now.
Rowdy is the way of describing it.
Yeah.
That is a descriptor. That's a toughie. That's a toughie.
That's not political either, because they both vote for the same people.
Yeah, no, I know. That's interesting. We would be... You and I would stick out, to say the least, as we rolled in there.
In either place, I think I'd stick.
No,
where would
but
you stick out more?
Can you imagine wide-eyed as we would be walking into those two places?
I hear
well,
you.
Well, my goodness gracious.
What do we
have here?
Where do you think you'd stick out more? In the owner's box of the Kentucky Derby or the infield of the Daytona 500?
There's an easy way not to stick out at both places. But
yeah, not to go to either.
Well, I'm just saying, if you went to either, it's not hard to disguise yourself as one of the masses. Certainly not for you and I. But I would say that it wouldn't be difficult.
I'm sorry, I don't have the $25,000 watch to get into the Kentucky Derby to not stick out, because that's like, I think that's the going rate, if you want a decent seat there.
Tony, who lives in Daytona, writes, the 500, blah. If you live here, it sucks. You'll see things that can't be unseen. Oh, I know. Tony, I guessed as much.
What drives that point home, too, is that his avatar it's on fire. It's like the Knolls are on fire.
We can dare to dream that the Knolls are someday on fire in the right way.
In the
my
right way,
goodness
yeah.
gracious. I just, those two, that's a fun debate. We should sit down and do my granddad gave me the, back in the day, whenever I really, really was wrought with worry over any issue, whatever it was. Pros and cons, take a pen to a pad, Jeff. Pencil to a legal pad. Make sure you write down the pros and the cons and be very honest with yourself about the pros and the cons.
How about this? I'll give you three options, and you could do the creme de la creme experience of all three. So it's your choice.
So the best experience,
yep.
No matter where we're going. Okay.
Yep. Kentucky Derby, Daytona 500, President's Cup.
Oh, I'm the President's Cup all day long.
Really? Even though it's
Cup. I like the President's Cup. Also, have you seen the top six for the American team this year and the top six for the international? I'm telling you, the President's Cup is going to be awesome this year, and I think we're going to win it. But in addition to that, the six captains' choices, I mean, he's got some tough – he's got – Davis Love III is the President's Cup's captain, and he's got a tough choice because some of the guys you would want to compete in an event like that, Dustin Johnson is like 17th. Tony Finau, which he's played well for us, he's 16th or 15th. You have to go down the list.
It's the President's Cup.
Going to dominate that ass in the President's Cup, buddy.
It's like the AAA World Series, you know?
Well,
It would be more interesting if it was on a three-year rotational basis, and one of the 3 years you got the internationals playing the Euros. That would make the President's Cup more interesting.
The President's Cup is awesome. I think you have got this twisted, sir. If you had the creme de la creme experience of the President's Cup, you would love life.
The best thing the President's Cup ever did was the fake video of Tiger walking in the putt before it goes in. Like, that's probably the most famous thing that's ever happened is a fake thing.
Oh, man. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. You can tell it's May.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I think we make certain assumptions about what is happening in college football. They got confirmed by our head coach, Mike Norvell, over there at Amelia Island. He had a sit-down with Packer and Durham, and they sat around sipping coffee and talking and all that good stuff.
That was the highlight of his day, I'm sure.
he had to pretend like it was. And he was asked about, well, the state of college football, but it comes up, and it's going to come up a lot for all of these coaches now, especially because of the high-profile situation that just occurred at Pitt. But when you have players on a roster that you fear could be poached, and in today's climate, they can, you're going to have coaches asked about it. And he says that, quote, we've had conversations. There have been a couple of guys on our team that have had people from the outside talking to them. They weren't in the portal. But they were trying to make decisions on certain things for their future. I don't find that shocking. I don't find that to be the kind of thing that, like, let's say nationally would gain traction. Florida State's coach claims players were poached or attempted to be poached or whatever. Because I think that that's just where we're at. Unfortunate as it is, I think if you've got good players, expect that people are talking to them. Quote, illegally, or however you want to label that, that's just the reality of where we're at. And until we get some rules in place here, or more importantly, an enforcement arm of an NCAA or whomever it is that is going to run college football moving forward, capable of doing something about it, then this is the new norm. It's not to be something that you're taken aback by, maybe frustrated, and I sense that most fans are. I believe most coaches would be very frustrated in having to deal with that sort of thing, but that is the reality of your situation.
The tough part about where we are now is a lot of us, either in the media or the coaching community, like people who have the power to do something and then just us who are commenting on it, we're all throwing ideas against the wall to see what sticks for the enforcement. Like one thing that Jimbo brought up a long time ago that I think could have weight if people would have the power to vote on it is you create a war chest of a lot of money that could go to a student if they complete their degree or if they complete their term that they sign on when they join the university on National Signing Day. So if they have an NIL on December 15th as a high school player and they have a choice between a one-year agreement, a three-year agreement, or a four-year agreement, you could slot, based upon the term of commitment, once they complete those seasons, what goes into their bank account. So there is the true quid pro quo for college athletes.
It's service, pay.
Right. Make sure you keep your grades up. You play for these years, and then here's the money you're going to get. Whether or not you score 100 touchdowns for us over those 3 years and you're a stud or you're basically a glorified walk-on. If you have committed to us, we commit back to you. Here's the money you can get. That's not going to stop rogue boosters, but it might help you in the transfer portal and the Wild West of what's going on.
I mentioned it in the first hour. We're all trying to garner information, our own Irish fellows over there right now for these ACC meetings. And, you know, you're trying to learn what is coming down the pike. The big subject matter, such as the rules for NIL, how to curb what we're seeing in the basically inducement pay-for-play game, who's coming to save the day, which the answer is nobody, who's able to enforce the many things that we're all suggesting, whether that be a radio talk show in Tallahassee or an athletic director in the conference or a head coach or anybody else for that matter, who's able to implement that, and who's able to make that stick. It doesn't sound like much right now, and so this is why everybody's sort of standing there wondering, as I just noted, who's coming to save the day. But there are some more immediate things that look like they will get done, and one of those happens to be the remaking of a football schedule model. And I think that's going to happen within the ACC. It could happen not this year, obviously, but next year. Next year. It seems likely that's happening in the Power 5 period.
So Ira hit up the message boards with a bunch of updates about a half an hour ago, and that's one of those things where the coaches were tied 7-7 in a split vote on whether or not to scrap what they're currently doing with divisions and create the system that you've heard about in the last couple of days, which is three fixed opponents.
3-5 arrangement.
Right, and then you play five other opponents for a home-and-home in a two consecutive year span. So, for example, you're playing Clemson, Miami, Georgia Tech every year if you're Florida State. Let's just say that that was the teams that are locked in. Then you're going to play NC State 1 year home, 1 year away. Then NC State's off the schedule for 2 years. Yeah. They come back. So when you're a four-year athlete, you can play everybody in your conference before you graduate. That's not a bad idea.
I love the idea, man. I have wanted for some time, and I know there's a famous game with a famous soundbite from it, but it's been a long time since, that wouldn't you love to go play at Virginia Tech? Wouldn't that be fun for you and me and anybody else that likes to see an environment that is more in line with celebrating football the way we do, the way Clemson does?
When's the last time we played there? Do you remember?
Well, is that that's the famous call? That's it is. That's Rashad Green. That's
2012.
That's me yelling and in the booth being upset. So that's all of that. I've wanted to go there for a long time. It'd be a lot of fun. But yes, the opportunity to trade out and go forward from there, it would be fun. I saw a quote, by the way, from Radakovich. I think the one where there are four-year rotating cycles where you play everybody twice and you have three common opponents, I think that really got a lot of thumbs up from most of the ACC schools, quote-unquote.
So also something that Ira pointed out, even though the coaches were split on the change, they don't have the real votes. The athletic directors do.
And our athletic director wanted to see us expand our brand as opposed to playing Georgia Tech every year.
Right. Well, it sounds like there are enough votes in the room for the ADs to make the change. We'll see if that happens. Jim Phillips is speaking to Ira and the assembled media over there around 4 o'clock today. One other note, too, from the coaches over there. It sounds like they're in favor with doing away with the 25-player limit in annual new scholarships. That's interesting. So it's no longer 25. If you want to flip the hell out of your roster, you can do so.
Let's get to the flippity-flipping. That has to happen, and soon. You saw, by the way, the potential permanent opponents for every team has kind of been posited, thrown out there. We are on the short end of the stick here.
In terms of schedule difficulty? Absolutely.
Yeah, every year we're going to get Clemson and Miami. Man.
Meanwhile, there's Virginia who gets, you know, Virginia Tech, Pitt, and Syracuse or something like that.
Well, they get Virginia Tech, North Carolina, and Wake.
Yeah, that's doable.
I think I especially like, honestly, I would love Virginia Tech's, which is Virginia, Louisville, and BC. Really? Okay. Yeah, I'd do that. That's fine. Or give me North Carolina's, Duke, NC State, and Virginia.
Oh, get out of here.
Get the hell out of here.
So they're going to be in third and fourth place every year.
Well, hell, give me Miami's. They get to avoid Clemson. They get Florida State, Boston College, and Pitt. Nope.
I vote against this measure.
Yeah, we would have Miami, Clemson, and Syracuse. No. I mean, I don't care about Syracuse. Beat that ass on the regular, but, I mean, come on.
So they wouldn't give us Tech. That's interesting.
I want Tech.
Yeah, we want to be able to drive to games. That'd be nice.
Well,
once a year.
Also, they're just garbage. So, yeah, let's do that. Although, I say that, we're garbage right now. We haven't been able to beat anybody. So I thumb my nose at these folks. But
Well, they beat us.
Well, they laugh at us. They know. They know when the ship is
you
righted.
Losers.
They know when what?
We just beat you. Yeah. You're a loser.
They know when the ship is righted and everything is operating at peak efficiency, the deal. You play your best, we'll play ours. Let's see who wins.
If there wasn't that lightning delay, James Blackman would have thrown for five Bills.
I contend that lightning delay was devastating.
You saw Mike Norvell's reaction. I think he would contend
in an
honest moment.
That place was moving. I was right down there on the 50. I was watching it happen. Like, here we go. That was the great catch at the was that Cam McDonald's great catch? Was that?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only one he's ever made.
From James Blackman. That's
a little bit of an overthrow, went up and got it.
In the history of the most unlikely plays in Florida State history, that's maybe top five?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. So you've read this, and this is not a surprising story, but it did make me think for a second. I'm kind of surprised this doesn't happen more. I'm kind of surprised it didn't happen here. Kicker Josh Lambeau has filed a lawsuit against the Jags. He wants his $3.5 million salary for 2021, plus damages for emotional distress. If you recall this story, one of the many that came out after Urban Meyer was told to have a good day by the Jags. The lawsuit, in part, brings up the fact that he suffered verbal abuse and was kicked before a game by Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer kicked him before a game and cursed at him, something about not missing kicks, and then kicked him and all that good stuff. So, all right, fine. He's suing. That's interesting. But I started wondering for a second. Urban, who's not seemingly liked by anybody there in Jacksonville or anybody who's ever really known him, and the abuse, verbal and otherwise, which is described in several articles since he was let go. How is it? And I suppose some of it has to do with workplace and chain of command, whatever it might be. But I looked it up, Tom. Josh Lambeau, depending on where you look, is 6'1", 6 feet, 215. Basically my size. He's basically my size, either an inch shorter or same height, about within 5 to 10 pounds. Same. So I was just trying to, by way of comparison, get a sense of, I mean, I thought, because, listen, almost every professional athlete is a lot bigger, even kickers and punters, than you realize. When you go and you see, when you stand on the sideline of an NFL game, you're like, these dudes are huge. Even the punters, they're big guys. Most of them, not all. So I was like, okay, well, I wonder how big Josh Lambeau is. So I looked it up. And then I thought, well, how big is Urban Meyer? Because I don't know. And he's the same height. He's the same thing. Depending on where you look, 6'1", 6 feet. Something around 5'11", I saw. As high as 6'2", somewhere in that neighborhood, right? So not 6'6", or whatever, right? Not that that's everything. Just trying to get a sense. I don't know of too many places where a person could put his hands on you, be in the midst of verbally abusing you, kick you, and that somebody wouldn't be well within their rights of pummeling their ass. Think about it. How did that not happen with Urban Meyer? The smugness of Urban Meyer, the lack of respect for his players, for the franchise, for the job that he was tasked with doing, the amount of times that he has been called out and or was said to have done those things, and nobody, not even a guy who got kicked before a game, decided not to do something about it physically, that's remarkable. It's just an observation. It's stunning to me that somebody who is as competitive and physically fit as even this kicker, that nobody thought, if you put your hands on, you touch me again. I can't believe that didn't happen.
Well, I want it to happen personally. Oh, and sure. He's going to get another contract with Fox College Sports. You see that?
Of course he is. I don't care.
Come on.
I know. That's.
But I don't have a good answer for you.
There's not a good answer. It's an observation. In light of the lawsuit, it's just an observation. I'm stunned that somebody in an NFL locker room didn't decide, Okay, so this is the kind of fun and games we're going to have around here, huh?
The young ladies came to my table. They wanted to take pictures.
Yeah. So to see my grandkids.
I went to take pictures with them. That's all. Yeah.
Dude is, man, like, Urban Meyer's about to be like $175. Man, no. I can't believe he'd have the gall to be kicking people, even a kicker.
Why wouldn't he have the gall, though?
I mean, that's insane.
Think about it. He's never been checked. Even with Rinaldi, their best friend, 6 months after the, according to the report, interview. That was all a charade. He kept his job at Ohio State. He's never been told no. Even when he's fired, he gets the next job at Fox Sports. He's fired. I mean, think about the resume of all the things that have gone wrong. Enabling wife beaters. Looking the other way for murderers. And they're like, yeah, you know what? That's a guy I'd hire.
Yeah.
So he absolutely should have the gall.
I'm just thinking, my man, that is that's a line. Like, the verbal abuse of which you speak, it makes sense. But I got to be honest. When I looked him up, he's not – I thought Urban was a lot bigger than he is. He's not that big. And more – so he's not physically intimidated. There are some football coaches who are like,
he's kind of frail, too. Like, that's why he wears the giant windbreaker.
He's a little frail. He's near 60 years old. He's about 1.07. No, man. It's not like some of the – look, if the coach of the Lions grabs you, ain't much you're going to do about that.
Right, right. Or Mike Vrabel.
If Mike Vrabel grabs
even
you.
Even though he's got a little chunky, he's still got problems.
You got a lot of problems. That's all I'm saying. There are guys that coach in that league that you're like, well, that'd be a toughie. I don't know that you're going to be able to do. But now if Shanahan grabbed you, man, get the hell up out of here, Shanahan.
Bruce Arians. Watch it, old man.
Yeah, you can.
I don't want to Pedro you.
Like, seriously, there are we all know who they are. We like to joke about it. There are coaches in that league that are like, man, I don't think guys are going to say a damn thing back to him. Then there are guys like Urban Meyer. You're like, man, I will backhand you.
Or like Tony Dungy back in the day. What you going to do, Tony? Come on now.
But Tony's not going to kick you or say something ridiculous.
Of course he never would.
Yeah.
He'd ask you to pray. You know, like Urban Meyer probably said somewhere like, Trevor and I, well, we decided to pray on it. And that's why we went with the third down call.
Yeah.
But like Tony would actually ask you to pray. Like he really would.
Yeah.
It would be a bold-faced lie from Urban.
No, of course it would. But Vrabel, you're right to point out Vrabel. The dude from the Lions is the one, though. Nope. Looks like he can still play. I that's not happening. Nobody's saying a word. Who was the coach with the Giants that's punching people in the face all the time?
Oh, who just got fired. But I remember Tom Cable back in the day.
Former, not messing with him. Mm-hmm. Massive.
Young John Madden? Nope.
Not young John Madden.
Young John Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
Like short sleeve and tie John Madden.
Yeah. Big dudes. That's, big dudes.
No, sir.
Yeah, Urban doesn't fall in that camp.
Even young John
Ass
Gruden.
Kicking.
Even young John.
No.
But here's why. Because he'd fight to the death.
Well,
John wants to die. He's got a death wish.
Well, then he'd have to because, man, John Gruden ain't stopping nobody from
dying. You ain't seen nothing yet, Cameron.
Joe Judge. Good call. Joe Judge.
Yeah, Joe Judge.
Giant. Well, Mike Ditka in his prime.
Ooh, Robert Sala?
Yeah, I don't know how big Sala is, but he looks a little...
He's a defensive coordinator. The defensive guys, it's offensive linemen, former trench guys, and
offensive
defensive coordinators.
Offensive and defensive linemen. Yep. Nay. Not messing with that.
Not Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer and Pete Carroll, who wins?
Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's in shape.
But Pete Carroll's like 72.
But he's in great shape. Zimmer's not. Zimmer's going down.
Bruce Arians or Andy Reid?
Andy Reid.
Really?
Andy Reid.
Even the stomach stapling?
But Bruce has got so many medical issues. His feet don't work. He's diabetic. He's half dead.
Yeah, but Bruce's weapon's a tumbler. Like he'd bash you over the head with a tumbler or crown.
He'd throw his crown
at
you.
Have a drink of that, baby.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't want to fight him because he's one of the nicest guys in the world. Like, the players all love him.
Andy, I sure hate to do this to you.
Yeah. Andy would... Andy, if he grabbed him. Andy's huge. Not just fat, but Andy's just a big dude.
But if you just stand right in front of him, he has to get his arms around himself before he can grab you. You just got to stand right in front of him, not to the side.
So it's like Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Or like Dark Helmet in Spaceballs. You just hold him up.
There's no easy segue except to say that the mortgage process can be intimidating. But not when you go see the legendary team at Hamilton Home Loans. Chad and Shannon, legendary team. And they're not going to kick you. They're not going to verbally abuse you. No. Transparent communication, cutting-edge technology, the best possible rates and service. It's all right there, my friends at Hamilton Home Loans. Check them out, FSUHomeLoans.com. Or give them a call today, 844-FSU-LOAN. We always want to thank Chad and Shannon, legendary team at Hamilton Home Loans, for being part of the Jeff Cameron Show. And you can experience their expertise, 844-FSU-LOAN, FSUHomeLoans.com. And a path that leads to God's own dying son. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. And it's almost time for probables. I'll get to them momentarily. All was right with the world in baseball again yesterday. So after the Pirates dominated the Dodgers, they turned around and lost 11-1. But don't look now. Dare I say it? Goodness gracious.
it's a good day so far.
It is. I don't believe it'll. It can't last, can it? It can't. I don't.
You aren't no hitting them, are you? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I don't think we're okay. No hitting them. I don't believe that is true. But we are shutting them out currently. Knock on wood. So
I do love sports because even though it wasn't an equal trade, it's not even close to an equal trade. The moment that the game was over and the Lightning lost to Toronto last night, I switch over to the MLB app and I'm watching Mets Nationals. Mm-hmm. And the Mets should win that ball game. The Nationals are terrible. But it's runner on first, one out in the ninth inning, and Edwin Diaz induces a 4-6-3 double play to end the game. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you, sports. That's only a 10% makeup for the 100% disappointment I felt in a Game 5 loss, but that 10% counts for something. It's the beauty of sports. Sometimes another team picks you up. When we lost in Game 7 to the Cardinals in 2006, the famous Beltron 83 down the middle from Wainwright that he looked at, the Bucks had the walk-off from Matt Bryant against the Eagles that Sunday.
From 63 or 62.
Yeah, you were watching it like Cross Creek or something?
I was watching it, I forget what it's called now, but it's that sorry course out there in Wakulla or whatever. But yeah, like,
okay.
Yeah, that one.
So you were at a clubhouse watching that game. You were going to get a refill, right?
We were at the turn, yeah. And we stopped in and got refreshments, and I couldn't believe he was lining up to kick, yeah.
I think the Game 7 was maybe on a Thursday or a Friday. With the Mets and the Cardinals. And I didn't speak hardly very many words for the next few days to my friends other than yes, no. And then that game, it was just like this elixir. I was like, thank you, sports. I needed that 63 yards to walk it off. Beautiful.
You know, I forgot about something before we do probables. I do believe Kansas beat Texas last year.
Again?
Yeah, I think they did.
Oh, man.
I forgot about that. Look that up for me really quickly. I just was thinking about coaches that have failed and the difficulties of getting things turned around, and I was reading a story during the break that kind of alluded me to it, but I think they did. Pretty sure they did. And like the guy who caught the touchdown pass was a third string fullback.
Yeah. 57-56. Oh my.
Well, remember when Charlie Strong lost to Kansas and I was like, well, you already had some things going against you at Texas there, Charlie, but you can't lose to Kansas.
So I will,
objectively speaking,
I will grant you that it's an overtime result.
They lost to Kansas.
No, but wait. Kansas scored more points on Texas than Oklahoma did last year.
Yes.
55 is what Oklahoma put up.
It didn't work. Well, that was a comeback. Remember? There were a lot.
We felt like both programs. I was like, you know what? This could be a good day for Texas. And then they didn't win again until the final game of the season against Kansas State.
Just as an aside, that was a tough first year for Sarkisian. Close to Kansas.
They did not. It was October 9th through November 20th. Texas lost every football game.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Holy smokes.
It's a toughie. All right, time for probables. Here we go. Fire it up, good sir.
It's time for, how you say, with the pitching, probables?
Brought to you by North Florida Payroll Services, locally owned for nearly 15 years, offering payroll and HR services, including full online applicant onboarding and integration into payroll. Save your company money and headaches today. Head to NorthFloridaPayroll.com. So now I'm to what I was alluding to. They're in the bottom of the sixth in Pittsburgh at beautiful PNC Park, where the Pirates seek to take the series from the Dodgers. Currently lead 3-0.
Wow.
Baseball. I'm telling you, baseball's screwy. Doesn't make any damn sense. Ryan Piepio and Dylan Peters. Blue Jays, Yankees. Jose Berrios, Jameson Taillon. It's 5-2 Yanks right now. That game in the seventh. Top of the sixth, 8-4 Cincinnati over Milwaukee. What's going on with the Reds? They've woken up from their slumber. That's Adrian Hauser and Vladimir Gutierrez. All the games about to be mentioned are coming up. Phillies, Mariners, we got Bailey Falter and Logan Gilbert. Hello, Bailey. Marlins, D-backs, Sandy Alcantara and Merrill Kelly. Merrill's got to be a character in any number of movies in which somebody could decry Merrill's ineptitude. So you would just be like, oh, well, that was Merrill.
It's a good line.
Yeah. Rockies, Giants, Chad Kuhl, Alex Cobb. I see Chad Kuhl still kicking ass. What the hell? Cubs, Padres, Keegan Thompson, Nick Martinez, Mets, Nats, Tyler McGill, and Aaron Sanchez.
That's Tyler with an O.
Sorry, Tyler.
What a name.
Parents didn't know what the hell they were doing. Rays, Angels, Shane McClanahan. McClanahan! Shohei Ohtani goes for the Angels. Man, has he been special lately, both on the mound and with the bat.
My name is Rob Orts with an O.
You'd want to yell at him, and he'd be like, I didn't have a say in the matter. A's, Tigers, Zach Logue and Joey Wentz, Red Sox, Braves, Nathan Eovaldi, Ian Anderson.
Go Sox.
I think they won last night, didn't they?
I think they did.
Yeah. Stroh's Twins, Jose Urquidy, Chris Archer. I can tell the Braves have gotten under your skin because you don't care anything about the Red Sox, and yet you threw that in there.
It feels like the good old days.
Orioles, Cards, Spencer Watkins, and Miles Mikolas.
Yes.
Royals, Rangers. I know, by the way, it's Mikolas. Save the email. TBD and Matt Bush. Guardians, White Sox. You know, saying the word Matt Bush made me want to pop a can of Bush and just guzzle it.
It made me think of the Nick Faldo comment on the, I think it was a Stenson T-shot. It went right into Arnold Palmer's Bush.
Oh, yes, and we were all like, ooh. No, I don't like Bush beer, but like if you said, here, have a Bush Light, pop that baby and guzzle it right now. It just sounded delightful. I don't know why.
If it helped me with the allergies, I'd chug it.
That's what I'm going to say the next time we're on the course and we're starting the back nine. Here's a Bush. I'll help you with your allergies. You got me a Bush at the turn? I did.
They sell Bush at Capital City?
They do.
You didn't just find that in the grass?
Old school clientele. Guardians, White Sox, Aaron Civale, and Vince Velasquez. And that is a look at those that shall reside on the bump. I love the idea of me finding a can of Bush beer unopened in the grass at Capital City Country Club saying, hey, I got you a Bush, chug it. It'll help with your allergies.
It would be a really cool thing to do if you've got FU money, you're eccentric.
And you drink Bush?
You just leave cold beers in the fescue every Sunday morning.
And it became a secret. Like, people are like, yeah.
I don't know who does this.
Yeah. What's that called when they place them in video games?
Easter eggs. Yeah.
Like, oh, I heard Cameron played the course this morning. There's Easter eggs.
Yep.
Bush all over the
Cameron
place.
Had the first tee time. Yeah. Don't buy any beer. Trust me.
We're all good. Oh, look where he put him here. He put it in the sand trap. How cute. I have little messages for people. Enjoy. Sorry you're in the sand. Have a cold one. That would be great. People forgot. I'm telling you, I just looked at the chat. I just went back. That's right. Freaking Texas lost to Kansas last year. This is, in the summer months, is where you go back and you remind yourself. When we start, you're like, hey, you know what else happened? So-and-so beat, you know, like, what? That did happen. I forgot all about that.
So the epic losing streak started with Oklahoma, 55-48. Then they lost to Oklahoma State, 32-24. Then Baylor, 31-24. Then Iowa State beat them 30-7.
Packing it in.
If you thought Kansas was the topper, well, then they went on the road to West Virginia the next week and lost 31-23. All in sequence. I can't imagine what Longhorn Sports Radio or podcast were like at that time. Must have been a lot of fun.
Director Matthew and I know we would have, is it Anwar? And that is, yeah, he would come on and he was.
Oh, so he was documenting it blow by blow.
Yeah, a little bereft of hope. They all started feeling so good about themselves. Didn't they start the year by beating Arkansas?
No, they lost
in a close game.
Yeah, they pulled away late. Arkansas 40-21 was the final, but
it was close for a while there.
They beat the Ragin' Cajuns, which ended up being kind of a good win,
which we thought was a big deal for them. Yeah, they ran the football effectively.
They were 4-1 to start the season.
Bijan Robinson, yeah, with a road loss to Arkansas, which is not so bad. Bijan Robinson is a star player. I mean, he's going to get drafted. We know that. They didn't have anybody drafted this year, but they will next year because of him. But, man, I...
But now I know how they didn't have anybody drafted. Because
they lost to Kansas. Yeah,
well, in the midst of losing 6 straight, yes.
They actually have some good players. They have a nice young receiver.
Like, what is less likely for Texas football, to not have a player drafted or to lose 6 straight football games? Usually, in the scheduling, you have one cupcake somewhere in 6 straight?
Well, they've suffered from some of the similar problems we've had. The bottom line is this. If you don't have good quarterback play, like if you have substandard quarterback play, it can go south on you in a hurry. If you're average to below average at quarterback, man, unless you in the modern game too, unless you can just line up and pound the rock and run the ball 55 times and shorten games, I mean, you're in trouble.
Let's do a reality show, like Trading Places, where we get to trade money with Texas for a year and see.
And let us work with.
Yeah, see if we stink like they do.
Well, so Tennessee feels like they're upwardly mobile, and I'll be curious to see the kind of season that they have this year in year two. You know, everybody talks about what a great year they had. Well, they went 7-6. We'll see. I don't know. But they're never going to have to long for money at Tennessee because, again, that they're in the right conference. It's just that. Got a long way to go to catch Georgia in that side of the
Would you chant SEC, SEC if Florida State got poached tomorrow? I don't think I could do that.
I wouldn't chant it,
but
no.
I'd smile. I'd smile. I'd
be happy about the windfall. Good work out of you. Good work, Director Matthew. Be well, everybody. Enjoy your day. Talk to you tomorrow.